The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear Blessed Mary, I wonder what it was really like that day when the angel Gabriel showed up with the news. Across the ages, artists have tried to imagine it. I'm sure you've seen paintings of the Annunciation, sculptures, line drawings. The scene always just looked so holy. The young woman, lovely and serene and astoundingly beautiful, of course, often has a halo painted over her head, or at least some light emanating from her face. She is dressed in flowing robes with a veil covering her long hair. She is clean and shiny, meek and mild, pure, peaceful. In these paintings, Gabriel always seems to have arrived as Mary is in a state of quiet reflection, like her life is lived just lounging around, praying and contemplating the universe. With the angel standing there, Mary's head is often bowed down submissively. She is invariably seated or kneeling, definitely located below Gabriel's level, sometimes down on the floor at his feet. One of her hands, or both, is held to her chest, or they are portrayed in that classic prayer position. And even though we hear in the Gospel of Luke's account that Mary was perplexed by Gabriel's greeting to her and pondered it, she never seems to look that way in the artwork. Never looks confused or bewildered, or like maybe she'd rather be somewhere else at the moment. The depiction of the Annunciation in art is quite wonderful and moving, and it's not hard to understand why an angel's visit to a young girl with the news that she would be giving birth to the Son of God might get some attention from creative types over the ages. And it's also not hard to understand why this moment in time, this moment that would change everything, might be depicted with a delicate, reverent touch. The characters, the things in the room, the space, the very air quivering with the divine. Yes, so much of this artwork is astoundingly beautiful. One of the things it seems to do is turn Mary into sort of a passive player in the story. Mary, agreeable, sweet, dutiful, maybe even a little bland, who goes along with whatever. I think we lose something when we turn Mary into some soft pushover who's mechanistically fulfilling the role chosen for her in the story of salvation, like everything that happened was just a foregone conclusion, that of course Mary said to Gabriel, "Let it be with me according to your word." Of course her fiancé Joseph stood by her side after he found out she was pregnant to God and married her anyway. Of course, everyone in the village bought into this lovely story of an angel visitation and a Holy Spirit baby, and no one threatened to stone Mary for adultery, shunned Joseph for being involved with such a scandalous woman, disavowed both of them, leaving them bereft of family, of a support system, of a community. Now, it is the case that you and I live in a society where having children out of wedlock is not really as big of a thing as it was back in those days, and that might make it hard for us to really get the risk Mary was taking when she said yes to God, when she opened herself up to the miracle God wanted to do through her. But it was a risk. An amazing, terrible, profound, confusing, wondrous risk. I think that's why I like Sandro Botticelli's version of the Annunciation so much. Botticelli was an Italian painter in the late 14 and early 1500s, the Mary he painted is, as you would expect, pretty darn lovely and holy looking. Botticelli couldn't resist adding a halo either and some really nice robes with gold trim, completely unlike what a young girl in a backwater town like Nazareth would be wearing around the house. But you can tell it's just not so simple for Mary when Gabriel appears. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you," he says, before he launches into his explanation of what God has in mind. In Botticelli's painting, Mary is turning away from the angel and turning toward him at the same time, kind of twisting at her waist. And she is holding one hand up almost as if to say no, while her other hand is reaching out to Gabriel as if to touch him. And probably my favorite thing about this painting is that Gabriel is kneeling at Mary's feet, not the other way around. One of his hands is lifted and he is looking up at her as if he is trying to reassure her that she does not have to be afraid, as if he sees her hesitation, her turning away and turning towards, her understanding that much is being asked of her. And so he is inviting her, encouraging her, wishing for her to be a part of this thing God is about to do in the world. We know how the rest of the story goes, how she does say yes. And we'll tell the rest of the story once again later today as we remember how Joseph and a pregnant Mary had to travel to Bethlehem to be registered, how the time came for her to deliver her child, how there was no room for them at the inn, how angels terrified some shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night with the good news that a Savior has been born, how the shepherds glorified and praised God for all they heard and saw. But it's good for us to spend a little time with Mary this morning. For her story is a reminder that God regularly invites ordinary people, people like you and me, to do extraordinary things. Her story is a reminder that we human beings often find ourselves wanting and not wanting to let God do kingdom work through us, that we find ourselves turning toward God and away at the same time, trying to keep God at bay in the very moment we want God, we need God to reach out and touch us. Mary's story is a reminder that God does miracles through us mere mortals, that love and forgiveness and mercy and hope are given birth in the world through our words, our deeds. She is a reminder that when we say yes to God, we are opening ourselves up to risk and sacrifice and hard work, but that nothing will be impossible with God. So greetings, favored ones, in these literally last hours of Advent, as the world is with child. Know that the Lord is with you, and know that we will see him soon, wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.